Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live, well, not live, I'm recorded, but I'm actually here live when I'm recording this, local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us when we get older? Good question. Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to take care of your mom? How do we pay for it? What's the right care? What happens if I go to the hospital? Will Medi-Cal pay? Will Medicare pay? We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff today. We're going to talk about basic stuff today because I think it's important because it comes up every day. It came up again today. I had a nice little old lady call me, listens to this show, needs Medi-Cal, needs help, and was told by Medi-Cal, I won't tell you which county, that she could only have $2,000 and she desperately needs help. And yet she was not given the correct information. So we're going to talk about all that kind of stuff today. And if you hear noises over my head, it's the firefighting bombers flying out of McClellan. They fly over my house coming and going they've been flying all the time, and God bless them. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host, as always, 20 years on KFBK. You've heard all this before. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows anything about long-term care issues. Don't confuse estate planning with long-term care planning, folks. They're two completely separate, different things. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit today. Somebody remind me. In fact, maybe I'll start out with that. I have a California insurance license and a legal document assistant license, which I just renewed in Sacramento County. That allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I'm a notary. Everything I talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, financial, or other advice. If you need your I just had to have one changed. The thing that chops up food, in your drain changed. I can't do that. I had to have somebody do that. So and the waste, the food disposal. So everything we talk about here is my opinion only. It's quite often the correct opinion, but it's my opinion. I have a workshop coming up on September the 1st. We just finished one, and it went great. People love my workshops because they're not like anything else on the planet. I don't care what other seminar you've been to. I don't care. It's not like mine. It's simply not. There is nothing like mine. I actually put people to work. I make people think. I make them come to grips with long-term care issues and frailty planning, and make them face what reality is, not what fantasy is. You can get a hold of me in a couple different ways. One is you can always call me, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Pardon me, the smoke in the air has gotten to me a little bit. Or you can go to my website, Assets and Aging, ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. Assets and Aging. .com. And there you can sign up for my website, sign up for my workshops. You can get information. you can do all kinds of things. Just lots of information there, folks. Lots of it. About long-term care, about nursing homes, about all kinds of things. And it's a great place to go. It's a great little website. And go there. Assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and Aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. You can listen to my weekly podcast there. I do a podcast every Wednesday at noon. You can sign up for my free email newsletter. In the next couple weeks, I'm going to be doing a whole series of newsletters dealing with a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about today, but in more detail. What else? You can sign up for workshops. You can listen to my archived radio shows. You can do all of that kind of stuff on my website. So make sure you go there. I'm going to be upgrading my Facebook page shortly. Make sure you're involved in that. You can get my book. You can download my book, or you can send me an email and I'll tell you how to buy the hard copy of my book. If you come to one of my workshops, the book is available for sale. So September the 1st is my next workshop. Listen to my podcast or get in to see me. You're always welcome to come and see me. I want to start out the conversation today. In fact, I'm adding this while I'm talking to something I want to do a newsletter about, because I think it's important. And so I'm writing as I'm talking. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between estate planning and frailty planning. Their phone's ringing in the background. Ignore the phone call. So it'll ring for a minute. It's supposed to be turned off in this office, so it doesn't do that. Evidently, it hasn't. The ringer hasn't been turned off. So that's what happens when you're doing live radio. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between estate planning and frailty planning. There is a difference, okay? And the difference is really simple. Estate planning is what happens when I die. What happens when I die? What happens when I die? I'm planning for my estate. Does that make sense? I'm planning for my estate. And that's a big difference. When we're planning for my estate. So again, and just ignore the sounds. It's the way it is. So, estate planning is who gets what I have when I'm dead. It's as simple as that. Who gets what I have when I'm dead? Estate planning. Who gets my stuff? Who gets whatever it is that I have? Who gets my house? Who gets my car? Who gets whatever it is that I have? That's estate planning. It's what happens after I'm dead. And most people that go and get a will or go and get a trust or go and get whatever, that's the subject that they're talking about, is what happens when I'm dead. It's a big issue. What happens when I'm dead? And in my world, it doesn't matter a whole lot because I don't deal with people who are dead. I mean, they're dead. They don't come into my office. Estate planning is simple. We do a document, whether it's a will or a trust, and wills go through probate, trusts don't generally. And when I'm dead, it goes to whoever I left it to. Ta-da! But what happens if I don't die? That's a whole different equation. It's an entirely different equation. That's frailty planning. And most documents that you see, whether you get them off the internet or you get them off of wherever, and it's your standard garden variety. Remember, everything we're talking about here is my opinion only. It's your regular garden variety, whatever it is. It's going to deal with estate planning issues, and it's not going to contain language that's going to allow me to deal with frailty issues. It's not going to allow me to deal with what happens if the stroke fails. If the stroke succeeds, okay, I'm dead. But what if the stroke fails? What if the stroke turns me into a blithering idiot? What if the stroke means I can't walk anymore? What if the stroke affects my speech and I can't communicate anymore? What if? That's frailty planning. And it's a completely different paradigm, a completely different fact pattern than estate planning. So those of you that did estate planning, when you were doing the estate planning, how many times, whoever was doing your estate planning, how many times did they talk to you about frailty issues? How many? Most don't. Frailty planning is a whole different game. How many people have asked you, who do you want to take care of you and how you're going to pay for it? What kind of care do you want? Do you want home care? What about a nursing home? Who's going to have control of your money even though you're not dead? Who's going to have control of your life even though you're not dead? You may be incapacitated, but you're not dead. And at the workshop, I talk about this issue a lot. I mean, a lot. I talk about this issue of how are we going to deal with what happens if I don't die? I can't tell you how important that issue is. So how do we deal with community property? Who can make gifts? Who can change the trust? Can we change the trust? Usually, when mom and dad have a trust, it takes both of them to change it. Well, they're both alive, but one of them's incompetent. What kind of powers of attorney do you have? Do you have general powers of attorney to take care of who can pay my bills? Or do you have powers of attorney that are going to allow someone to deal with frailty planning? Do you, without going into detail, because we're just talking about, you know, my opinion, do you know if you have immediate powers of attorney or springing powers of attorney? Do you have both powers of attorney for health care and powers, general powers of attorney for finance? You don't know? You should. If you don't know, you ought to come and find out. You ought to make sure that you know, because there's a huge difference between estate planning and frailty planning. It's huge. It's a big difference. And if you don't know the basic answers to that, my question to you would be, why don't you know? What does your trust say? Who can manage your trust if you can't? Well, it's my wife. What if your wife dies first and you have a stroke? Now who manages everything? I think it's my kids, but I'm not sure. Okay, if it is your kids, can they deal with frailty issues? Or are they just stick around and spend your money until you die and then it go because they can't do anything to deal with it? I don't know the answers to that in your case. But it's a big thing. It's a big issue, and you need to know the answer. Look at your documents. Look at them and see if they have frailty language in it. Well, Bob, I don't even know what I'm looking for. My point exactly. If you don't know, then you don't know what you don't know and you should know. I think it's really, really important. In my world, it's everything. When somebody walks into my office and they tell me mom or husband or dad or whoever it is gone to the home. They've gone to the home. They're now in the home. Okay? They've gone to the home. Oh, mom's in the home. Okay, great. Sorry to hear about that. Sorry mom's in the home. Too bad. Does mom still know who she is? Oh, yeah. She had a stroke, and she's kind of can't walk on one side, but she still knows who we are. She can still talk. Good. Then mom can do some of the stuff that we need to do. What happens when they say, no, mom or my husband or my wife, whoever we're talking about, doesn't know what planet they live on? Then all that's going to speak for that person are the documents, and they better say what they need to say. Do you know if you have a revocable or an irrevocable trust, and do you know the difference? Do you know the strengths and weaknesses of each? Have you done any research? Are your powers of attorney HIPAA compliant? What's HIPAA? The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Are your documents HIPAA compliant? Do you have HIPAA authorizations? I don't even know what those are. Don't you think you should? It might become a really big deal. It might be a really big deal. In the second half of the show, I may get to some of it in this half, we're going to talk about the different Medi-Cal programs that there are. We're going to talk about general Medi-Cal. We're going to talk about long-term care Medi-Cal. We're going to talk about in-home support services. We're going to talk about the waiver program. We're going to talk about PACE. We're going to talk about the different Medi-Cal programs that there are that people don't even know exists. And those documents are going to become really, really important when we VA benefits. We probably won't get to VA benefits. I may be able to talk about some of it today, but what those documents say are going to have a great deal to do with what you can and can't do with VA benefits if you're entitled to them. You know, I just got a phone call before I went on the air today, before I started recording this. It was from a lady. And she said, I think I said this coming at the beginning of the hour. She said, and she can't come to me, and I can't get to her, so we're kind of stuck. But she's trying to get in-home supportive services, and she's been given information that's not correct. In addition, it's plain to me in talking to this person that she can't get out, that she's housebound. So who is she authorized in her documents to take care of all this stuff for her if she can't, if she even has documents? She's not deceased. It's not an estate planning situation. It's a long-term care. It's a frailty planning situation. And that's an entirely different animal. It's really, really, really important, to differentiate between estate planning and frailty planning, death planning and living planning. Death planning is pretty straightforward. Living planning can be much more complex and can go on for years and years and years and take a person from just kind of being a little confused to not knowing where they live. It can go on, frailty planning can go on for years and years and years and years, and we can keep adding the years and years and years. It can go on a long time, and the requirements and the needs and the pitfalls and the quicksand and all the stuff that goes on when we're talking about long-term care frailty planning is in a completely different world. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of approaching the world. It's completely different. For those of you that have ever taken care of someone who's older or whatever, who really needed help and couldn't get out and couldn't make wise decisions, you understand what I'm talking about. You're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions that you never in your wildest imagination thought you were going to ever have to make. How many of you, going to talk about icky stuff now, so you might want to hold your ears if you don't want to hear about icky stuff. How many of you are prepared to take care of someone who's incontinent? How many of you are prepared to take care of someone who's incontinent in two ways without getting too graphic? How many of you are prepared to make decisions for someone who thinks that their mother, who's been dead for 40 years, is in the room with them? How many of you are prepared to deal with someone who thinks that the bedroom is the bathroom? Some of you are laughing right now, and I'm telling you that all of these come out of my 30 years of experience. I have seen all of these things. How many of you are prepared to deal with a parent who every time gets in the car, you pray they're not going to kill themselves or someone else? I once knew a family who was letting a parent drive who was legally blind. I'm not making this up, folks. Who was legally blind because they just could not bring themselves to say, "I'm sorry, but you can't drive anymore." The stuff you're going to have to deal with when it comes to frailty planning, if you've read my book, you understand what I'm talking about. You really do. You understand what I'm talking about. The things you're going to have to deal with are things you've never thought about before. So, how do you become prepared for this? One is begin to think in terms of frailty planning, not just estate planning, not just what happens when I'm dead. Secondly, look at what you have. Do you have documents that let you or somebody you love or a family member or somebody deal with the icky stuff that might come in your life or your parents' life or your spouse's life or your Grammy's life or somebody else that you love? Take a look. If you can't figure it out, then you have a problem. If you're not sure, then you have a problem. If no one's ever discussed talked about any of this stuff with you, you have a problem. If you're one of those people that says, "I don't want to burden my kids with this," you have just burdened your kids with it because you may have left them in an untenable position of where they're having to do things that they don't have the authority to do or need to do things that they don't have the authority to do. For you children who are saying, "My dad doesn't like talking about this," then you may be in a really ugly position where you're trying to take care of someone and you don't have any of the authorities you need to take care of that person. Frailty planning is completely different than estate planning. Get to one of my workshops. My next workshop is on September the 1st. It's right here in Sacramento at my office. It's right here. And it's there's two sessions, one at 10:30 and one at 12:30. They're limited to 15 people per session, and I'm not kidding when I say 15. The workshop I just did, both sessions were full. The workshop before that, both sessions were full. If this is a subject you've been thinking about for a long time, you actually have the chance to make a difference. Call my number, 800-999-8007. Get to my website, assetsandaging.com, and get signed up. Do it now. Do it before it's too late. Get in to see me. If you're dealing with an emergency now, don't wait until September the 1st. Start to deal with it now. Dad's just got a little memory problem. No, he doesn't. Dad has dementia. Mom just has a little diabetes. A little diabetes turns into a lot of diabetes with really bad side effects. Get in to see me. Get a hold of my book. Get to the workshop on September the 1st. But do it now. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. When I come back, we're going to talk about Medi-Cal a little bit. Pardon me. And VA a little bit. And the importance of both and how they work and what the rules are and all the kind of stuff you've been told that you're going to find out isn't true. So stick around. We got to take a little break so the station can make some money. We'll be back here in just a second or two on Assets and Aging. Okay, welcome back to Assets and Aging, affording the future, the live local show. I keep saying that habit, folks, because I was live for 18 years. The local show, I'm recording it, but I'm alive. It's all about the issues of aging. Welcome back. Your host, Bob Scrivano, doing this for 20 years on KFBK. Glad to have you with us. I want to spend the next... We talked a little bit about the difference between estate planning and frailty planning. I hope that was helpful to you. If you need more information, go to my website, get to my workshop on September the 1st. That's my next upcoming workshop. Remember, I do them in my office. They're limited to 15 people per session. There are two sessions, one at 10:30, one at 12:30. You can go to my website to sign up. I think my workshops are not like anything else you've ever been to. You've all been, you get offered the free food, the free electronic device, the free, nasal spray, whatever it is to get you there. There's nothing free, or the workshop's free. But there's no enticement. You come because you want to know how to prepare for the icky stuff that's going to come in your life and your wife and your mom and your dad or your brother or your sister or whoever it is. And if that's what you care about, then you'll want to come to this workshop. It's intense. We're going to work. I'm going to make you work. And you don't want to miss it. I only do one a month. The next one's on September the 1st. I know that's incorrect. It's said for emphasis. September the 1st at 10:30 or 12:30. The seminars are the same. You just have a choice of time. They are limited. The workshops, really not seminars. You're going to work. They're intense. You're going to be exhilarated when you're done. You're going to be better off when you're done. And you'll understand how this works. I want to talk for a little bit about Medi-Cal. And when I talk about Medi-Cal, it's very confusing. There are lots of different Medi-Cal programs. Covered California, General Medi-Cal. I'm going to talk about the Medi-Cals that have to do with frailty. And there are several of them. And I'm going to talk about them in real terms. Not what you've heard, not the junk that you've heard, not the stuff that somebody told you, not to the seminar you went to where they told you if you bought this product, it would all be... No, we're going to talk about it as it really is. The most common kind of Medi-Cal that people think of when they think of long-term care is nursing homes Medi-Cal. As I sit here and talk to you today, there are, 1,000 nursing homes in California. I forget. I don't remember how many. There's a lot. Remember, when I talk about nursing homes, I'm not talking about assisted living. I'm not talking about boarding cares. I'm not talking about independent living. I'm not talking about memory care. Memory care is assisted living. I'm talking about nursing homes. In Sacramento, there are 35, 40 nursing homes. I don't know. I've lost track. There's a list. You can go look them up. It's published by the state. You can go to the Medi-Cal website. It'll tell you every nursing home in the state of California that takes Medi-Cal. And on any given day in California, there are in the neighborhood of 110,000 people in nursing homes. On any given day, 60 to 70% of those people will be on Medi-Cal. The people that are not on Medi-Cal are paying an average of $8,000 to $10,000 a month. And that number fluctuates all the time. People come and go. And don't confuse long-term care Medi-Cal, long-term care nursing homes, with rehab. Rehab is where you go when you have a stroke and you're in the hospital for 3 days. I'm not even going to get into all of that. You've heard that before. You have to be admitted for 3 days, not under observation, has to be blah, 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 blah. And then you go to the nursing home for 2 weeks for rehab, and that's paid for by Medicare. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about long-term care, what's called a long-term care bed in a nursing home. On any given day, there are about 110,000 people in nursing homes, and about 60 to 70% of them are on Medi-Cal. Why? Because very few people can afford $9,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month for a nursing home. How long is the average stay? Nobody knows exact. I have read every statistic known to man, and the statistics are bent and twisted depending upon whose numbers you look at. It really does. But I've had lots of clients over a dozen clients in a nursing home over 20 years. I have a person in a nursing home now that's over 100 who's been there 5 years. My mother-in-law was in a nursing home for 4.5 years, weighed 85 pounds, had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I've had clients go into a nursing home. My dad went into a nursing home, died 9 days later of a heart attack. He had congestive heart failure. No surprise. Wasn't the nursing home's fault. There is no real average, but it is not unusual to see people who have been in a nursing home for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. That is not unusual. That is not unheard of. You walk into any nursing home, they'll tell you that they have people that have been there 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Some of you listening right now that are my clients, I know that you've had people in nursing homes for over 8 years. I have a client right now who will be going into a nursing home. His spouse was in a nursing home for almost 10 years, and now he's going in, or shortly will be. So it doesn't matter to me what the average stay is in a nursing home. What matters is it costs a lot of money. And you've been told, you've heard, you've been told, you've read, not in my book. My book is called Navigating Frailty. It's $20. If you want a copy, call me and I'll tell you how to get it, or send me an email and I'll tell you how to get it. You can go to my website and send me an email at bob@assetsandaging.com. You can also go to my website, which is Assets and Aging, and you can sign up for my workshop. You can also do that by calling. So, let's talk about long-term care Medi-Cal. So you've heard there's a 5-year look back. You've heard they're going to take your house away. You've heard you can only have $2,000. You've heard you can only keep $12. You've heard you're limited to how much income you can have. You've heard that the care is terrible. There are lots of people that like to sue who are going to tell you that the care is terrible. Suing nursing homes is a full-time big business, gigantic business. Why? Because they have a lot of money and they have insurance. You're going to hear all kinds of things. I, on the other hand, can tell you that after 30 years of being in nursing homes, I've seen great care. I've seen caring care. I've seen facilities who do an amazing job of taking care of people that their families can't take care of. I can tell you that I've seen loving, funny, hysterical things in nursing homes. I can tell you all kinds of things about nursing homes. I can also tell you that everybody says they stink. Well, a lot of the people in nursing homes have no bowel or bladder control. So yeah, sometimes there's a little odor. That doesn't mean the nursing home is dirty. People have heard all kinds of myths about nursing homes. They've heard that they're going to put you down in the basement with the rats if you go into a nursing home. The people have heard they're going to put you in state-run nursing homes. There aren't any in California. There are no state-run nursing homes in California, despite what people would like you to believe. The care in most nursing homes is pretty good. In some, it's great. There are some nursing homes that offer great care. What happens is unrealistic families. Nursing homes, and I'm going to get to Medi-Cal in a minute. Nursing homes are filled with what? Come on. Dun, 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 dun. What? Sick people. Very sick people. A lot of people who are in nursing homes came from hospitals. Hospitals are filled with what? Sick people. If you get better, you get to leave the hospital and go where? Home. If you don't get better in the hospital, where do you go? A nursing home. And most people in nursing homes don't get better and go home. Nursing homes are filled with people who are ill. Let's start with a given. It's not on anybody's radar. It's not where you want to be. But all the people that I know of in my 30 years, I've never met anyone in a nursing home who could have been home alone. Never. Not once. Not ever. Never. Okay? There's a reason people are in nursing homes. Okay, so what pays for nursing homes? You pay. Long-term care insurance pays, which is it's a small number of people, or Medi-Cal pays. So if I'm in a nursing home, do I have to lose my house? No. Can they take my house away when I'm dead? The answer is yes, but no. They don't take your house away. They have the right to place a lien on your house on your probate estate after you die, assuming you had no wife, no spouse, no trust, if you had a probate estate. So if all you had was a will since 2017, if all you have is a will, you have a will and you die and the will goes through probate, then Medi-Cal can place a claim against your probate estate for whatever they paid out while you were in the nursing home. Do you know what a small number of people that is? And if it does happen, it's because they got really, really, really bad advice. So no, generally speaking, yeah, there's one teeny, you're not going to lose your house. They're not going to take it away from you. They're not going to take it away from your wife after you die in the nursing home. And if you were in the nursing home after you die, they're not going to bill your children for your stay. Let's get over that one now. If you've done a little planning. If you have a probate estate, then you haven't done planning, and then that's possible. Not likely, but possible. So let's get rid of that one right away. You're not going to lose your house. Well, I've heard that they're going to take all your money away. No. I've heard you can only have $2,000 in cash. Not really. If you're married with a court order, you may be able to keep almost an unlimited amount of cash. Your IRAs don't count as cash. Your 401ks don't count as cash, as available cash. Your life insurance doesn't count. There's all kinds of ways to deal with life insurance, folks. Did you know if you own a business, you can keep your business? It doesn't count. But you didn't know that. You can keep at least one car. You can keep cash. You can keep income. Yeah, there's some limits on income, and you may have a share of cost, But that doesn't mean you can't get help from Medi-Cal. What if you're single, Bob? I heard if you're single, you can only have $2,000. Well, that's true. You can only have $2,000 in available assets. If you look at the Medi-Cal form MC-7077, which I actually hand out in my workshops and we go over it, there's three kinds of property: available, unavailable, and exempt. What if I have more than $2,000 and I'm single? Can I get Medi-Cal in a nursing home? Yes. Absolutely. Might you have to do a little planning? Yes, absolutely. Might you have to have the right documents in place? Yes, absolutely. But can it be done? Yes. Bob, I've heard that you have to, if you go into a nursing home, you have to wait 3 years before you can apply. Really? Where's that rule? That rule doesn't exist. That rule doesn't exist. Well, I heard you had to wait 30 months. Really? Where's that rule? Well, it's in Title 22, California Code. No, that's not what it says. Really? No, it doesn't say that either. I've heard that you should give it all away to your children before you go in a nursing home. That could be a really bad idea on a whole lot of levels. I'm not even going to go into all of them because your eyes would glaze over, but that's generally a bad idea. Well, I've heard. I'm here to tell you that 98% of what you've heard about long-term care Medi-Cal is not true. And with a little bit of planning and a little bit of forethought, you can make sure that you don't lose everything, that you don't have. Bob, I've heard you have to spend down. No, you don't. No such requirement exists. It doesn't exist. Well, I know people that had to spend down. I know people that have spent. I know one person that spent $750,000. Spent it down, sold the house, and spent all that money because they were told they couldn't keep anything. Not true. That person could have protected everything. Most of what you've heard is not true. So if you have the right frailty documents, if you've done the right frailty planning, if you've done those kinds of things, then yes, long-term care Medi-Cal is available to you, to your family, whether you're married or single, if the right stuff is in place. If you've done a little frailty planning, you can keep what you worked a lifetime for. What other Medi-Cal programs are there? IHSS. Misunderstood program. In-home support services. It pays for in-home care. Great, I can stay at home. No, you can't. Well, wait a minute. You said there's a program called in-home IHSS. There is. There's a Medi-Cal program called IHSS. It pays for a maximum of 283 hours a month. Let's assume you get the maximum. Let me take my calculator. I got my calculator here in front of me. And I'm going to turn it on. And we're going to divide 283 hours divided by 30 days in a month equals 9 hours a day. That doesn't sound like 24-hour day care to me. And you know what you have to do to get the maximum number of hours? Be bedridden. You can't get out of bed. Now, that takes care of 9 hours a day. What happens to the other however many hours there are in the day, the other 16 hours in the day? Who takes care of you then? Who pays for that? The average person who gets IHSS gets 50, 60, 70 hours a month. Divide by that by 30. What's that, 2 hours a day? 3 hours a day? Yes, IHSS can be helpful. But it's not what people think. Can a family member get paid to do that other than a spouse? Yes. So your grandchild could get paid to take care of you some hours, your son, your daughter. There are some requirements to do that, but they might be able to come and stay with you and get paid for some of their time taking care of you. You have to be housebound. You can't drive. If you can drive, you don't need in-home care. So there has to be some need there, And for IHSS, there are very strict, if you're single, there are very strict income and asset limits. If you're married, it's the same rules as a nursing home now because of some new federal regulations. IHSS can be a really helpful thing, but IHSS is not going to take care of you at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. It may provide a few hours a day, and maybe that's a good thing, and maybe IHSS is something you should look at, but it's not what you think, and it really takes a lot of pre-planning. With IHSS, it's very important that you've done frailty planning and that your documents are going to let somebody take care of you and a whole bunch of other stuff. Let's go to another Medi-Cal program that I like a lot. It's called PACE, Program for the All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. It's daycare for people with Alzheimer's. It's limited in scope. It's only in certain counties in California. In Sacramento County, it's run by the Sutter Group. And I believe they also, you can be in adjacent counties as long as there's a Sutter facility. It's adult daycare for somebody with dementia, with Alzheimer's. And what happens? There's requirements. I'm not going into all the requirements. Again, documents become important. But what happens is the PACE program will come and pick dad up. Let's say dad has Alzheimer's. They'll come and pick dad up, and they will take dad to daycare so that mom can get a break. It's not 365 days a year. There are limits to it. There are asset requirements. There are income requirements. But all of that can be dealt with. PACE, if you live in the right counties, is a wonderful program. For more information, get a hold of me. And then let me talk about the last one. The last one is the worst program in California and the best program in California. It's called the Assisted Living Waiver Program. Why is it the worst? Because there's only a little over 3,000 beds, I think it's 3,600 or something like that, in all of California that are available for a Medi-Cal waiver in assisted living. Now, assisted living costs a lot less than a nursing home, so you think it should be bigger, but the state legislature won't pay any more money for it toward it, because they need money for other things like pensions and salaries and other stuff. It should be a giant program. We should be encouraging people to go to assisted living rather than nursing homes. But it's a very limited program, and it's a program that really, again, unless you're married, if you're single, requires low income and a lot of very strict asset limits. And the real problem with the waiver program is trying to find a bed. You should be in your state legislator's face about why they have not expanded the waiver program. In fact, a few years ago, it terminated right in the middle of a year because it ran out of money. And there was no more money for it. So the beds ceased to be available. But the waiver program on a limited basis to help pay for assisted living is available. The problem is finding a bed. I haven't had a chance to get into all the VA programs. Suffice it to say, the most common one I talk about is aid in attendance, which is a benefit available to veterans and surviving spouses of veterans to help pay for in-home care or assisted living. Again, documents become really important when it comes to working with aid in attendance and VA planning. My point is this. There's help available if you've done the planning necessary to know what the help is and how you get it, how you obtain it, how you plan for it, how you preserve a lifetime's work, how you do all of those things. You just don't go out and sign on a piece of paper and get any of the things I've just talked about. The Medi-Cal application alone is what, 24, 27 pages long? Just the base application is that long, not accounting all the other forms that come with it. So planning for this stuff, having a conversation about it, getting to my workshop, getting in to see me, making sure that you've done the frailty planning in advance that you need to do, so when it comes time to access these benefits, you can do that. But it starts with sound planning. It starts with an admission that estate planning is different than frailty planning. And what have I done to make sure that my family and myself are going to be able to do the things I need to do when I have to plan for frailty? Call me today, 800-999-8007. Stop waiting. Get off your rear ends and get going on this stuff. Get to my workshop on September the 1st. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can call me at 800-999-8007. You can get signed up. You can get in to see me. You can begin to make a difference in your life and the life of the people that you love. But it starts with, what steps have I taken to plan for frailty? Where's the frailty language in my documents? Where's my thinking process that allows for frailty planning, not just what happens when I'm dead? 800-999-8007. As always, thanks for listening to the show. I hope to see you in my office soon. Remember, the appointment is free. At my workshop on September the 1st. Remember, that's free, but you got to sign up. Thanks so much for listening to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for 20 years of just enjoying what I do. Look forward to seeing you here next week, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, 800-999-8007.